Hear now a reading from the Wisdom of Solomon. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seemed to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster, and their going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace. For though in the sight of others they were punished, their hope is full of immortality. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy. Like gold in the furnace, God tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering, God accepted them. In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble. They will govern nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord will reign over them forever. Those who trust in God will understand truth, and the faithful will abide with God in love, because grace and mercy are upon God's holy ones, and God watches over the elect. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, welcome to November. We've now entered the darker half of the year, according to the ancient Celtic peoples. What we now celebrate as Halloween or All Hallows' Eve, many of you probably know, has roots in both the pre-Christian pagan cultures of Northern Europe and also in the early Christian tradition of commemorating the martyrs, those who had died bearing witness to their faith. Now, there's some really fascinating history on how a pagan harvest celebration became a Christian remembrance of the dead, but in the interest of time, I'm going to refer you to Wikipedia or other resources. I know there's a significant segment of Christianity that resists Halloween traditions like costumes, the emphasis on the dead, the supernatural. They see them as non-Christian, as perhaps even satanic, but as we've said here before, Christianity has pagan DNA, and that's okay. So whether you believe in ghosts or zombies or witches or vampires or anything like that, Christian theology is based on the premise that there is life beyond death, that when we are connected to God, we are also connected to those who have walked with God before us. In our traditional doctrinal language, we call that the communion of the saints. Communion, of course, including the meal that we celebrate, has to do with connection, with the with oneness that we experience when we gather as community. And yes, those words have the same roots. When we are gathered in relationship with the source of love, we may know communion. Of course, when we talk about the saints, maybe worth a little clarification, since there are different ways of using and understanding that word, partly depending on what branch of the wider church you might be in. There are the official saints, St. Joan of Arc, St. Francis. They've been formally recognized and canonized by the church as having lived and died in an exemplary and holy way, and such that they are worthy of what is called veneration, adoration, admiration. And the belief is that having reached heaven, they are able to intercede on behalf of individuals who pray in their name. This is the Catholic tradition of the saints. Now, if we talk with one another about saints, we may also be speaking of famous people, faithful people whom we admire, even though they haven't been officially canonized, such as Martin Luther King Jr. or Dorothy Day, or even people from other religious traditions like Gandhi. And then there are those personal saints whom we have recognized this day, the individuals who have touched our lives, who have shown God's love to us in some way, sometimes within the limits of their own flawed human natures, but who may also have gone above and beyond normal human kindness to demonstrate compassion or service, or integrity or a passion for justice. And so all of these ways that we use the term saints have in common that they are people whose lives are memorable for what they represent, Unlike celebrities, rock stars, politicians who are famous for simply who they are and because we are entertained by them or led by them, the saints are known because of the values and vision that they have lived out. And they are known for the God whose image they bear to us. Now, in the New Testament writings, the Greek word hagioi may be translated either as saints or as holy ones. It is used to refer to all the followers of Jesus Christ, whether living or dead. It encompasses both the great cloud of witnesses referred to in the letter to the Hebrews and also the congregations in Rome and Corinth and Ephesus that argued and grumbled and competed within their own congregations for who had the greatest spiritual gifts. So sometimes the word saints was used as praise, but often it was used as a way to remind the community of the ideal toward which they needed to keep striving. One of my favorite explanations of what makes a saint is a story about a little boy who was out shopping downtown with his mother one day, and he happened to look up and notice the cathedral nearby. Now, from the outside, the windows of the cathedral looked pretty dull and gray and grimy, and he wasn't very impressed by it, and he told his mother that. And she said, "Well, let's go inside." So they went into the cathedral, and his mother took him over to the side where the great big stained glass windows were. And at first, the boy was entranced by the magical colored patterns on the stone floor of the church. They seemed to dance in front of him as the morning light streamed through the great windows above. "Look at that," he said, pointing to the image on the stone floor. "What is it, Mom?" "Well," his mother replied, "actually, that is a saint. You see, the window up there, which looked so dull and boring from the outside, there's a saint in the stained glass. And the light is shining through her and making her picture dance for us here on the stone floor." Well, the boy stored up the information in his heart, and the two of them went home for dinner. A few days later, the same boy was in Sunday school, and the teacher was talking about saints. She asked the class, "Well, what do you think makes a saint?" And the little boy's hand shot up, and he said, "A saint is someone the sun shines through, and when that happens, the stones come to life." Isn't that a marvelous image? Throughout history and in each of our lives, the saints are those faithful women and men who have lived in such a way that God's light has shone through them, bringing life abundant and colorful even to the lifeless stones. Well, today's reading offers another image of those we might consider saints. It comes from the Wisdom of Solomon, which, as Pastor Brad reminded us this summer, is part of the Apocrypha, the writings that were included in the Roman Catholic Bible but weren't seen as being quite so authoritative when the Protestant reformers redid the whole thing. So this wisdom text was written in Greek, probably within about a century before Jesus' birth, and it was written, it is thought to have been written in Alexandria in Egypt by a Jewish writer who was part of the wider Greek culture. The wisdom genre speaks from within its particular tradition, in this case, Jewish culture in Greek civilization, but it seeks to discern universal truths. What it means to be wise, to live a happy life, to understand what God desires for all people. Today's reading maintains this deeply Jewish assurance that God is the ruler of all that is, that God brings life out of death. In the language of metaphor and praise, the writer emphasizes that appearances may be deceiving, that death is not the end, but that God brings justice even when we don't see it in this life. That the righteous who have died have not failed because they died. They have not been proven foolish, even if they suffered. That their suffering was not, in fact, meaningless. But the writer insists that they will be rewarded with blessing, honor, and power in eternal life. It's good and powerful stuff. It is the beginning of making way for an understanding of resurrection. But in reading through the texts for today, I was really struck by this one line. In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble. Now, the time of their visitation was a little confusing, so I looked at some other translations, and some of them have it as the time of judgment. That's a whole other theological conversation, but for now, let it be a broad meaning of the word judgment. And I am just really captivated by this image of the faithful, that they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble, catching fire through the discarded and left behind of the field of the world, blazing with light and glory for all to see. In a religious tradition that begins with God calling light into being before any other created thing, it makes spiritual sense that those who are faithful to God, those who trust in God, should become not just bearers of light, but active energy itself. Now, so far in this reading, we've been talking about the righteous dead, but verse 9 is about all who trust in God, living or dead, which means us as well. And yes, that's right. If you haven't heard it before, here is both the good news and the bad news. We are all saints. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to be perfect, which, speaking for myself, is kind of a relief. It doesn't mean that we have supernatural powers, whether an extra layer of muscle or bat-like perception. It just means that we, too, desire to draw close to God and to bear the image of God in the world. Let's hear that final verse again. Those who trust in God will understand truth, and those who are faithful will dwell in God's love. These are God's chosen ones. And grace and mercy belong to them. This one a little different translation than the first time I read it. But if the saints are all who seek to live in God's light, all who are open to the love and spirit of God, all of us sinners who receive the good news that we still have a future because nothing can separate us from God's love, then we too are called to be saints. We too can live in such a way that we dwell in God's love, with grace and mercy and the loving gaze of God upon us. We too can allow God's light to shine through us so that even the stones seem to dance. Now, for the last several weeks, we've been reflecting on our vision as a congregation. And so today we think about the saints as those who have modeled for us what it means to dream God's dreams and to invest prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness to make that vision a reality. And so the saints are also all of us who are still working on that today. I believe we have identified a vision that is worth striving toward. That we will be a diverse community where all people can see their lives whole and know that they matter to God, to us, and in the world. The communion of saints includes many spiritual ancestors and contemporary sisters and brothers who have sought new truth and reconciliation by building a diverse and beloved community. The saints are those who have seen their lives whole. For some, that means experiencing the wholeness that was true of their lives all along. For some, it may be an experience of being made whole through healing. For others, it may mean being part of the larger whole, the communion of all God's people on earth and all the company of heaven, the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us and marches forward. The saints are those who have experienced a deep and unshakable conviction, no matter their circumstances, that they matter to God. They are those whom we have known and whom we honor in ways that demonstrate how much they matter to us. And perhaps above all, saints are those who, in God's name, know that they matter in the world and dedicate their lives to bearing God's light in a world full of dull and lifeless stones. And so this is my prayer for all of us at this time of celebrating all the saints. May we draw near to God and closer to one another as we gather this day in the company of those who have gone before us, knowing that we too are called saints, holy ones, those who trust in God, diverse, beloved, and whole. May we shine forth with the love and abundant life, truth, grace, and mercy that God offers to all God's children. Amen.